whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Benchmark games don't mean what I think people think they do. It's not, if the Cavs win tonight, does that mean in a 7-game series they'd have a chance against OKC? No. And by the way, it doesn't really work that way anyway. It doesn't work that way in the NFL regular season, where you can carry more over from the latest Baltimore-Pittsburgh game to this one than you could from this game to the Cavs-Thunder in a hypothetical finals.
Bills have won the last 5 regular season games against the Chiefs.
But it's still not absolute, right? So, but with that being said, it's a where are you two teams right now? This is literally the hottest team in the NBA. So getting a win is a significant thing for the Cavaliers, even if it doesn't mean all of a sudden we should say they're a championship team.
Yeah, not every regular season game is treated the same. And it's not that I'm outcome dependent here. I'm not. I'm more about the idea that these are the closest looks to a postseason game that we'll get. But we'll see this team twice in 8 days. I mean, that's the other part of this, right? I'm supposed to put a lot of stock into this one. I'm supposed to get excited, but... And I am excited, but we're going to do this again in 8 days.
So we're just talking about the Termini audio and whether people really want, whether fans in Cleveland really want to hear what the national media has to say about your Cavaliers, or whether you just want to hear nice things. I really do think they're the two biggest knocks. If you hear one of these two things from the Cavs, I think you really should listen to it. It's not being negative. I think this is realistic. One is the roster construction. And that falls back on in a half court game, which is what you're going to play, slower tempo in the playoffs. Can Darius and Donovan get it done together? They might be able to, but the easiest way to buttress that is a 6'8 wing that can shoot and defend, a la Cam Johnson, a la... I don't think you can get Brandon Ingram with the core four, but... somebody like that.
There's a reason why, Nick, we had so many discussions. It almost was over the summer, it wasn't a will they break up the team. It's which part do you want them to break up? Do you want them to break up the two big men, or do you want them to break up the two guards? And like everyone kind of had their own side, and everyone kind of picked their own, and then they just decided to do neither one of those.
And I think now what's interesting is I think the Cavs are more, well, do we break up the core four? Do we break up the next 7 guys off the bench? Because I think it's going to be none. And I think that's the flaw. If you're committed to making it work with Darius, I'm cool. If we can keep these 4 dudes together, that makes me irrationally happy. But then you got to do something to boost. Then when I say boost, it's not about talent level getting better. It's about the fit and guys that can make those guys fit together better in a 7-game series.
Right. I mean, it's tough. You're never going to have the perfect team. You know, I think that's there's always going to be holes. And in an NBA roster, there's always going to be holes that we can pick apart. What I do like is that they are doing it a little bit different than at least like what Boston is doing. And it's fine. Boston seems like they got the blueprint and everything figured out. We'll see how it works out for them. But I like the idea of this Cavs team. If they can beat the Thunder, if they can go through the rest of the regular season, you at least have a lot more confidence going into the postseason than what you had last year.
So the first knock on the Cavs is roster construction. Totally fair. The second one, and I think it's a little tougher to determine whether it's fair, whether it's going to be accurate about going forward,
okay,
which is just the Cavs' playoff woes the two previous years and whether that should factor into our assessment of them this year with a different context as a head coach.
Yeah, and this is my big hang-up. I can't trust this team in the postseason based off of what I've seen in the previous 2 years. And that's going to be a hurdle I got to get over. But the only way to get over it is you got to show me that you can do it in the postseason. That's why I'm not outcome dependent of tonight against the Thunder. If they get blown out, maybe we have a different conversation. You know, if they blow the Thunder out and they completely show me that defense doesn't matter the way that I know it matters in the postseason when people really clamp down, okay, we're starting to build something. We can move with that. But it's just such a different game. And in that different game that is the postseason, Cavs last 2 years, I mean, they've crapped the bed in many ways. I mean, we talk about them winning a postseason series. Great, you took the Magic to 7 games. Like that's not something we want to hang our hats on.
Yeah, and here's the thing for me this year about previous playoff woes. The difference is you have an offensive philosophy. But now the question is, can you adapt that to continue to work in the playoffs? And that goes back to the roster construction stuff. But I think from the regular season perspective, if they go 7-3-9. That shouldn't change your postseason expectations, right? Even if, like, let's say they get to 50-6.
It won't for us, but it will for a lot of people, Nick.
Well, okay, but because here's my thing. I think what happened last year, and I don't want to say I think what happened. We had high expectations. Two things happened. One, I mean, you struggled against Orlando. You eked out a win there. Two, you weren't healthy. I'm going to add a third thing, even though I said two things. And then the third thing is you ran into Boston in the second round of the playoffs, and you were not equipped to beat them last year in any way.
Right.
So I think if you had maybe ran into them in the third round, I think you probably would have gotten to the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Yeah, so, maybe if you're on the right side of the bracket.
But I think the expectation had been Eastern Conference Finals or bust mentality because of the expense of the Donovan trade and the weight of Donovan. Will he re-sign or not? And want to make sure you had the best chance to re-sign Donovan. Turns out it didn't matter. And the reason why I bring that up is for this year, when it comes to where this team is, I kind of look at it and I go, you know what? Like, it is Eastern Conference or bust, but like, if you're just going to run it back, I can't guarantee you got any tougher just because Kenny Atkinson is here.
See, I look at it a little bit different. I think the East is going to be tougher this year in the postseason. I think last year a lot of things went right as far as the postseason was concerned.
For Boston, for sure.
Well, think about it. So they ended up playing Indiana in the conference finals. You know, like, there's a lot that went right between the Embiid injury, between the Giannis injury, and even problems with the Knicks there as well. Like, there's a lot that went right. Knicks, by the way, playing fantastic basketball in the previous month or so. They're looking good again.
Till the last 3 days, or last 3 games, lost 3 straight.
Yeah, but they've looked good in the past month. They won 13 straight preceding that. Like, they looked really good. They've turned it around. There's no denying that. And then the Bucks the same way. Bucks look much better than they did in the early parts of the season. Like, I think the East looks much better right now. If we started the playoffs tomorrow, they look much better than what it was last year in the playoffs. For sure it is.
I think it's so. Here's the funny thing, because I'm saying,
but yeah, are we bracket dependent? Is that what it is? If we get the right,
I think everybody in the East is, right? Well, okay, not named Boston. Like, even if the Cavs are going to win a title this year.
This feels like so many years with the Bills and the Chiefs. It's like, when you meet up the Chiefs at the right time? Well, for the Bills, for a lot of years, they didn't. That's why Josh Allen has won AFC title game appearance.
I think it's probably more likely that if you're going to win a championship this year, the first one, this year specifically, you need to, somebody's got to knock Boston off. Because I think you're going to have a better chance to beat whoever knocks Boston off than knocking Boston off
yourself.
Well, for
sure. I mean, that's a given.
If you could guarantee me that in the second round, Boston lost to Milwaukee. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I respect the hell out of Dame and Giannis. I would start to kind of think that maybe you actually have a chance to win a championship.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's why a lot of the conversations come with that caveat. Like, if Tatum goes down with an injury or something, you're in the driver's seat. I think that's why a lot of fans have such high expectations. But I just don't live with the idea that Tatum or Brown are just going to end up injured.
We're going for the 2019 Warriors. Let's get that going on.
Why not?
No Achilles, though. We like Tatum and Brown, just not when they play us. 216-474-0092. Are the Cavs' playoff woes holding them back in the eyes of fans? We do have bandwagons coming up, but we kind of ripped Mel Kiper earlier in the show for something he had to say about Shedeur Sanders to the Cleveland Browns, but he has a pretty interesting point about how Cleveland might not be in the playoffs this weekend. That doesn't mean this weekend is meaningless for the Browns. 92.3 The Fan.